Welcome back to the Mom Mentality Show. I'm Austin Chadwick. This is Chris Lucian. And today we have Michael and Joe. And to get us started, maybe tell us a little bit about yourself. Yeah. How about you, Joe? Yeah.
We used to work at the same company together. And, we started trying out mom programming just for fun. And, it kind of stuck. And we've since gone our separate ways, but kept mobbing with our own teams.
Yeah, so I joined a new company maybe 9 months, a year ago, something like that. And that was one of the first things that we started with, kind of kickstarting a new team, which is kind of nice. I don't know. So I've been doing software stuff for, 10 or 15 years and wrote a book, actually. But we can save that for later.
Yeah. Nice. Well, please let's talk about it toward the end. You're here at the Agile 2019 conference, and you have an experience report, and so I wanted to hear a little bit about that, and maybe what's the preview kind of snippet of that, and then we can direct people over to the link once it's live for the actual talk on the website.
Yeah, fantastic. So the talk itself is about mob programming patterns. Mm-hmm. So it's actually, I guess, kind of two topics at the same time. Kind of snuck it in there, but it's the patterns themselves. We discovered, maybe 10 or 15, 15 or 20 actually. Okay. Yeah, quite a few. But then also the idea of like harvesting. How did we discover those things? Where did they come from? How did we decide that the facilitator might be an interesting pattern versus something else?
Awesome. Yeah, so for each of you, what's your favorite pattern and what's your favorite anti-pattern?
So I think probably the researcher pattern is probably, at least one of the most effective patterns that we discovered in our mob. Having somebody go out and figure out how to solve the problem before you get to it, yeah. And getting people to be really proactive about that. Really helped us like speed up our productivity. Nice. Our biggest anti-pattern.
I think we only have one anti-pattern in the paper.
Yeah, probably the Fight Club.
Okay. People butting heads. Yeah.
Okay. All right. I like the splinter group. I think is what we ended up calling it. Basically, yeah. There's a situation where you've got a lot going on. Five, six, sometimes seven people in the room, and I don't know, whatever the case may be. There might be somebody who's really interested in a particular topic and wants to go deep, or maybe there's just some, a bit of tedium, like a particularly simple refactor, but maybe takes up a lot of time or something like that. Mm. And or research. So maybe there's like a topic that we don't quite understand. We want to do like a quick spike or something. So getting a small group, one, two, three people to kind of splinter off and go figure that out, and then come back once that task is completed. I think that's pretty cool. It's something that we saw just kind of naturally happening. Mm-hmm. We didn't have to encourage it or tell people to do it. It just sort of happens. So.
Yeah, I think I had an experience with a mob, and I wasn't in this mob, but I was watching it happen kind of from the periphery, and it was, they actually ended up started working on two different projects just to satisfy two different customers, essentially, in that space, but still rotating through the mob. And so it was kind of like a little splinter group, but they were rotating people in and out of this other group. And so it was pretty cool. There's a lot of interesting dynamics that can happen on the fly in that space. So very cool.
Yeah, and I just thought it was really cool how, I've been mob programming a little while, and we've been discovering patterns as we go as well. And it's just really cool to see other people discovering their own patterns and how there are some similarities and some differences. Like the researcher is a role that Willem Larson has documented in the Mob Programming RPG. But also the splitting off. I've been on a mob where we do that on occasion. Some sort of UX type request would come in, and then people were interested in that would split off and work on that, while others who wanted to keep working on kind of the main feature would keep doing so, and the UX engineer would come mob with that pair or that smaller mob. And,
I think that's actually one of the coolest things since publishing the paper. Like, it went up, and then, got a Twitter traction, right? Like, we're talking about Agile, so it's like, 50 retweets or something, right? Like, nothing crazy, but enough people who have been thinking about this stuff noticed, and it's like, oh, wait a minute. This thing that I documented here, it sounds like the word you're using for that there. And
yeah.
Oh my gosh, they're the same, we think. Like, we're starting to actually discover these things, which is which is really cool. Yeah.
Absolutely.
If people go to the paper, and I'll put the link in the description, but if people go to the paper, you'll see a graph that they put together on essentially the relationships, I guess, or the transition points between the roles. I thought that was really interesting. So how did you come up with, what was the idea behind that and the lines in that drawing that you have?
Oh, geez, yeah. So that was an attempt at a sequence.
Yeah.
So like in the pattern languages world or whatever, there's this idea of, you know, you can put things in sequence and not everything is like a big bucket of, you know, patterns or whatever, but sometimes, you know, one leads to another and you might apply one in a certain situation.
Mm-hmm.
So that was kind of an attempt at something like that, but I think it's probably too early to officially call it a sequence. But,
I just found it really interesting because, I mean, the connections to me were very logical. It was just, and so it was, that was a level of it that I hadn't really seen before, was the maybe relationship between the different roles.
What's an example? So the so we would start off with something like we noticed that people would take different roles, right? And then we'd have like the facilitator was one of the roles that we noticed, like somebody just sort of steps up and, you know, wrangles the mob a little bit. And then we noticed that the facilitators tended to use different techniques. What was one of them? I'm drawing a blank all of a sudden.
Like they might ask somebody to go like write down an ADR or something. So they'd create a recorder by just assigning like, hey, you know, maybe we should document the thing that we were just talking about for 20 minutes.
Yeah. Right, or we were just talking about the splinter group actually, like encouraging, like, it looks like, you know, you two are having a side conversation. Mm-hmm. Like, why don't you go pair on that for a while and come back, right? Just kind of nudging the group along a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah, so kind of chain of events there.
Very cool. So I think we were talking this a little bit before we started recording, but one thing I'm really interested in is when I encounter teams that start mobbing kind of on their own, I ask, you know, more or less, what started you, what got you to the point where you and your team wanted to start mobbing and doing things?
Yeah.
Well, so our situation actually was we had two teams that were being put together because the organization decided that it would be so.
Right.
And we were handed this huge DevOps task. And so basically you've got a bunch of people that had never worked together before and that had never done DevOps before. And sort of like, ooh, well,
it happens
how do
we, more often than anything.
Yeah. How do we onboard all these people and you know, bring everybody up to speed together? I was like, well, hey, let's try mob programming. So that, I don't think we did daily retrospectives, but we did them like weekly.
Yeah.
After the first week, everybody was like, oh, like we learned so much as a group. Let's keep going with this.
Awesome. So somehow naturally, so there was some initial cause and then somehow naturally it just kind of became a normal thing for the team to be doing.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Awesome. That's really cool. And so you said earlier that you went your separate ways. So how did you introduce mobbing in a new organization or along those lines? You
know? Yeah, very timidly.
Okay.
I guess. Like, the premise, it sounds insane, right? It's like we want everybody to get into a room and one person is gonna, you know, do the coding at a time. It's like pair programming, but a lot more.
Yeah.
You know, the management immediately is just kind of okay. You wanna do what now?
Yeah.
But the team responded really well to the idea. I think trying something a little out there, you know, seems exciting. And we were at a point also where it was all, you know, brand new team, basically. We had one person who was more experienced in the domain than everybody else and really knew the code base. And we had a new, you know, basically greenfield style development. So there was a lot of thinking, a lot of design work that had to happen. And getting everybody together in a room made a ton of sense. And the team responded similarly, very, you know, enthusiastic support for, you know, the types of things that we were doing. And then management also started to see, you know, people are getting a lot of stuff done. So they were also, you know, became very supportive of it.
Nice.
To follow up question that, was that pretty much by choice? Some people wanted to do it and others didn't? Or how did that kind
of flow? Something that I'm always very aware of and very, very conscious of. So most people are game to mob pretty much anytime. Like they enjoy it, it's fun, it's energizing. There are a couple of people who don't want to be doing that. And, you know, the kind of introverts, right, or people who are just used to having think time for themselves, you know, whatever the case may be. Yeah, so most people very enthusiastic, want to jump on it. They request, you know, the mobs are running whether I'm there or not, right?
Yeah.
Which is always awesome. Other people, you know, they'll come and go as they are able to, right? As their energy levels allow.
Makes sense.
Cool.
And sometimes you get those people who, you know, they need to go off and recharge, and then sometimes you get people who are over energetic. This mob's going too slow. Like yeah. I need to get in there and just get it done. And you know, sometimes you can use splinter groups too. It's like, okay, why don't you go off and just get that done?
Keep mobbing here. That was actually a problem early on. Like everybody was so into it that they just wanted to go like 8 hours.
Yeah.
Like, okay, like that's cool, but you know, maybe you should take a break. recharge, come back.
8 hours, no break.
Oh yeah, they were just all for it. Very enthusiastic.
That's great. That's great in one sense, the enthusiasm.
It is, right. Yeah. Well, it's, I think it's like, part of the learning, right?
Yeah.
Like bringing in a new technique.
Yeah, where is the appropriate space?
Right.
Yeah, absolutely.
Figuring out how to use it.
Yeah. Doing the monitor. Oh, I had one more question, which was from reading your experience report. It wasn't clear if it was all remote or some remote or all in person. What was the mobbing structure like as far as in person or remote?
Yeah, so it's all over the place, I think.
Really?
Yeah, like you're mostly remote right now. Initially, we were all local, all co-located.
Yes.
Oh, okay. Then we split off from, you know, after you left for a different company. And the teams that we put together were all remote people. So it was me and one other guy in the same room at Pittsburgh, and then everybody else was just calling in. We were just video conferencing the whole thing.
Yeah, and we've got in our company, basically two campuses or two main offices, so Pittsburgh and San Francisco. So we'll usually get one cluster on each side, and the time zone is kind of interesting there. So we can actually get, you know, people in the mob from, you know, 10 in the morning till, you know, I guess like 7 or 8, you know, East Coast time, which is kind of neat. We had to work on transitions. But yeah, so it's distributed, but like partially distributed, I guess.
Yeah.
And then we've got one or two other individuals who maybe they're working from home, or one or two people are working remotely full time, and they'll join as well.
So I know that our audience will definitely want to know this. Was there any externally available tooling that was very helpful for mob programming, like conferencing or anything along those lines? How did any publicly available tools that you might recommend for mobbing remotely?
Slack screen sharing actually was the best.
Oh, really?
Because you just like draw right on the screen. Yeah. So when you're not all in the same room, you can't like point at code. It's really nice to have everybody drawing on the screen. You're like, oh, look at this thing here. Refactor this function. It sucks.
Yeah. So maybe the equivalent of a laser pointer or something like that when you're all together in the same room. Awesome.
Yeah, we do a combination of the Google Hangouts with Drive, so shared documents for sharing notes and things like that.
Okay.
And then we use a tool called Miro. It's like a whiteboard, digital whiteboard kind of thing. So you know, when you need to get up and draw, especially when you've got like the two offices going at the same time.
Yeah.
That's pretty nice. And we'll actually share an example of what that Miro board looks like at the talk on whatever day it is.
Wednesday.
Thank you.
Yeah, usually the Agile Alliance puts the experience reports up, and so if you have an Agile Alliance account, then you'll be able to watch their talk. Okay, so I think that this is a good place to wrap it up, and unless anybody has any last comments or anything along those lines for the audience, or...
So I am kind of interested in seeing this patterns concept keeping going. There's a couple of groups who are collecting patterns right now. I guess if people have patterns, it'd be fantastic to either validate, like, me too, I've seen that, right? We're doing that. Or contributing new patterns, things like that. And maybe we'll see these things start to coalesce
over
the coming weeks and months.
So this is an official invitation to join our community and be an active part of the community. And so for all the people that are just watching the YouTube channel and not participating, come on Twitter and join the discussion.
Yeah. And I'll put it in the show notes, the various links to the places where patterns are held. And I've been contributing and people have been accepting pull requests. And it's been fun to see them all start to merge and cross-reference each other.
Yeah, it's kind of an exciting time.
Yeah, it is. It definitely is.
Yeah. Okay. Also, buy his book.
Oh yeah, you must plug.
Sure. So, the book is called Design It, From Programmer to Software Architect on the Pragmatic Programmers.
Awesome.
Excellent. Right on.
And maybe we'll try and get a link in the description for that one. So.
Yeah, well.
All right. Thank you very much. And don't forget to like and subscribe and hit the notification bell and all that. And we'll see you next time.
Have a good one.
Bye.